Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. My name is Em and today I'll be speaking with Nick. After receiving a diagnosis of secondary breast cancer, Nick worked with her friend Jen to create the Little C Club, a resource for parents who want to talk to their children about cancer. We'll be speaking about the impact breast cancer has had on her, as well as her ongoing work with the Little C Club. Nick, thank you for joining me.
Hi Em, thanks for having me.
So to begin with, Nick, could you please tell me about when you were diagnosed with secondary breast cancer and what actually initially prompted you to investigate those symptoms?
Yeah, of course. So I was diagnosed with secondaries in March 2018. It was following I had primary breast cancer in 2011, so I had quite a few years clear. And after I had my children in that gap, so after my first child, Dylan, was born in 2015, I just got sort of overwhelmingly anxious that there was going to be a recurrence. I was a new mum. So I went to my oncologist and said, look, could we do some scans? And kindly he did. And they spotted like a solitary little area on my liver that no one was really that sure about. So I had loads and loads of scans, ended up having a biopsy and an ablation. And was told that actually that wasn't a malignancy. So we stayed off treatment. They just recommended that I had sort of periodical scans just to make sure nothing else came up in the liver. So I stayed off treatment, had my second child, Poppy. And then the first one of those periodical scans that I had after Poppy was born actually revealed that there was a few areas of metastasis in my liver at that point. So I went on to have a bone scan, which also showed multiple areas in my bones. Yeah, Poppy was 4 months old at the time. So and my team were amazing. They got me on treatment straight away. I think I went into my clinic appointment, a new mum, and come out. I'd already had my Zoladex injections and I was starting the menopause, which is pretty surreal. I started on, I had a inhibitor therapy. I had the palbociclib and letrozole, and I'd been on that for 4 years up until recently, stable with no problems. But I have now had a little bit of progression that I'm going to move on to some oral chemotherapy, which is capecitabine. But I've generally lived a reasonably normal life on treatment. Life is fairly chaotic, and as you can imagine, I've got a four-year-old and six-year-old now, so life is busy, and it's been fairly normal up till now, and hopefully we'll continue the same.
Thank you first of all so much for sharing that, and I know it's kind of condensed down into that little nutshell. It's very easy to kind of just sort of breeze past what was obviously a really difficult time for you. I imagine not only that first diagnosis, you must have been really young when you were first diagnosed.
Yeah, I was only 26 when I had my first diagnosis. And I had, but my mum died of ovarian cancer when I was 19. So there possibly is some kind of genetic link, but I had all the BRCA testing and everything came back negative. So there's no real way of knowing at the moment whether there's a genetic link that's just not been discovered, I guess.
It's very difficult with these things, and I've heard it before, I think, even on the podcast, talking with people who say it's in their families and there doesn't appear to be a connection. But like you say, can't be sure at this point. There's a few things we are aware of, but also so many things we aren't. Whilst you've got all this craziness with your 4 and 6 year old, you've also set up the Little C Club, and you did this with your friend Jen. And if you're comfortable talking about her, I'd really like to just kind of hear a little bit about Jen and how the two of you met.
Yeah, absolutely. So myself and Jen met actually at a Breast Cancer Now event in Bristol back in March 2020.
Oh, amazing.
And it was an event, it was like a 2-day event specifically for young women with secondary breast cancer. And we'd both gone there, I think, to try and kind of find like-minded people in similar situations, and just some more information about living with secondary breast cancer. And it was such a great event. I really recommend them. I've met so many lovely people that I still keep in touch with. But there was something about Jem. We just kind of instantly clicked. We bumped into each other on the first night, and we just had such a similar mindset. It felt like we'd known each other forever. We just were chatting and spent the whole weekend getting to know each other. And her story was slightly different with her cancer than mine. She'd not long completed her primary breast cancer treatment when she was diagnosed with her secondaries. While she was planning to have her reconstructive surgery, they spotted an area on her hip bone of metastases, and she started treatment from there. But she was just such an inspiration, the way she faced her cancer. It never stopped her from doing any of the things that she loved doing, and she was teaching almost full time up until a few weeks before she sadly passed away in April. She was mum to Eliza, who's 10, and Albie, who is 6. And she was a design teacher working as an assistant head teacher in a secondary school. So she just had such a zest for life, and I really miss her a lot.
Yeah, goodness, I can imagine. And I must say, when you and I first started talking, it was either earlier this year or it was last year. And we'd hoped that Jen could join us and have this conversation about Little C Club. So, it's always really difficult to have these conversations, and it's especially difficult when, you know, someone should have been present for them. But I'm really pleased that you can still join us and kind of talk about the work that the two of you have done, because, well, from what I've seen from this side of sort of exploring your website and things of Little C Club, it looks like a really amazing kind of venture that you two have set up. So would you mind kind of going into what prompted you to start it? I mean, obviously you've got your own children, but what sort of gave you that first impetus to actually do something where you thought there needs to be a resource for this, and actually just sort of give us an overview of what Little C Club is in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I probably speak for most parents that get diagnosed with cancer when I say, like, they are the first thing that go through your mind. How are you going to talk to them? How's it going to affect their lives? And I think myself and Jen never really found we were looking for resources and ways to be able to start talking to our children. I mean, mine were obviously younger, so it wasn't as urgent for me, but I wanted to kind of have some kind of grounding so they grew up with it, rather than it's all a big secret until you're a certain age and then we're going to sit down and tell you all about it. So it was something that was on both of our minds, and we just didn't really find anything that fitted with how we wanted to sort of open up these conversations. And we went into lockdown for the first time a couple of weeks after we met in Bristol, and we'd spent so many nights sort of chatting on Zoom and other virtual platforms. And before we knew it, we were talking about designing our own A to Z of cancer for our children, and how we were going to talk to them, what we wanted to talk to them about. And we designed these flashcards, and flashcards felt like an obvious choice because our children were already using them for letters and shapes and numbers. So it was something they were familiar with. And Jen was such a talented designer. She's done really great illustrations for all of the cards. And then I used my nursing background to sort of think about what information we wanted to put on the cards, and how we were going to simplify that and break it down into little bite-sized chunks. So essentially the Little C Club started based on these flashcards that we made. They are an A to Z of cancer, but we wanted it to feel more like a club, really. So it's not such an isolating feeling. There are lots of other children that are having to learn about this thing, and we didn't want our children to feel alone in that. And it was very much based on our own children. I think we started thinking it would only be for our children. And we might have printed out these little cards from our printers, and they just went down so well and they looked so good. Mm. We thought, actually, these might be able to help some other people. So we printed off a really small batch and sort of set up an Instagram page, and just to gauge the interest in them. And we sold them all within about a week. I think it was crazy how quickly they went, and we were getting such great feedback from them. So just kind of went from there. Then we put in a bigger order, and they've been going down really well. We get lots of professionals telling us how great they are, but we also get lots of feedback from the families using them as well. They are so simple that you could use them for any kind of cancer in any situation. They just kind of give that base of information. So I think a lot of the problem is people don't really know where to start, and it's just having that confidence to have something tangible in front of you that you can say, right, we're going to talk about this today. And for example, one of them is about appointments and how that might affect the child, because mum or dad might not be able to come and pick them up from school every day, or the schedule at home might sort of change, and there's a little bit of information about what might be happening. And then at the bottom there's an activity to create their own schedule. So then we talk about days of the week and times and things like that. It's really practical. It just fits into daily life. It's not for 1 minute all about you've got to sit your children down and tell them the ins and outs of cancer treatment, because it's just, that would just be completely overwhelming, and that's not good for anybody, I don't think. It's just about having that grounding and giving them a comfortable platform to come and say, I just wanted, particularly Dylan, he's a bit older, so he's starting to pick up on things that are happening now, and I just wanted him to be able to say, Mummy, I heard you talking about chemotherapy the other day. I don't understand what that means. Can you tell me? Mm. It's just about making it something normal that they're okay to talk about. And obviously the cards are really visual, so it's much more approachable for the children.
Yeah, and I, as you said, it kind of makes it normal for them. And that's when I was sort of looking through your website and looking at these cards, that's kind of the impression that I got, was it's taking away that kind of stigma, that scariness, not just for children, but also I imagine for parents as well, who are just, because there's no real guidelines on how you're meant to talk to children about this, because it's something we hope we never have to do. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you were able to actually put something together that's accessible, that kind of already makes sense to children, is just absolutely fantastic. And I love when you said that kind of have a little activity with it as well, to just sort of make things normal again and just kind of make it a part of, you know, we're allowed to talk about this. And have you found, I mean, you've just mentioned there that Dylan's been quite responsive with it. Have you found that, you know, when you're using these with your children, they might bring up topics that you think they might not have talked about before? Is it kind of encouraged conversations around things?
Yeah, I mean, I think Poppy's four now, and I still use the cards with her. We talk about the alphabet still, really, and there's an injections card. So I've used the injection card with her to talk about her own, like, preschool boosters and things like that, and just sort of some word recognition, really, just again, so that if she hears something that she doesn't understand, it doesn't have to be a scary word. She's happy to ask about it because we've talked about it from the cards. With Dylan, his understanding is getting a bit more in detail now, and he'll ask, like, what sort of medicines I'm having and what happened with my doctor. He'll start to ask me questions now, which I think is really positive. None of it's a secret, and I try to be as honest as I can with him. I think he, particularly since we lost Jen, it's been a bit harder for him because he's obviously put the connections together. He knows that me and Jen had the same illness. And I think that's created quite a bit of worry for him. But he's openly talked to me about that, which I think is down to the fact that we use these cards and it is something normal. It's not a taboo subject. He can come to me and ask, which is really positive. And there are going to be times when it's hard and it's scary for me to talk about sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is to keep talking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine, how scary it must be from your side. And that's actually something that, we talk about the kind of the responsibility of trying to explain things to kids and how much we should and shouldn't say. And I realise even when I've been talking about it, I've been saying, you know, it's scary for children, but obviously it is scary for parents as well. Mm. And how have you kind of been able to navigate that fear in a way? Have you got sort of a support system that you can turn to as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky. I've got some fantastic friends, and I think most of my friends are nurses, so I'm lucky in that respect that they kind of know how to deal with me. it's been hard. It's been really hard losing Jen, because she was the person that just got it and I could talk to her about pretty much anything. And I think that's been a real, real hard hurdle to get over. There are obviously days that I find much harder than others, but I think at the moment my position is I'm doing reasonably well. Life is normal and we just keep going and take one day at a time, and that's all I can do, really.
Mm, yeah, of course. I mean, you've got friends that are nurses, and obviously that's really helpful. But I mean, not everyone might have that in this position. Yeah. Is there anything that you think should exist as a resource, either for parents or for children, that is just not currently out there?
I think if you'd have asked me that a little while ago, I'd have said, yeah, there's nothing for parents and we need more. Actually, when you start to dig, there are loads of little charities that are not very well heard of that are actually really supportive. There's a charity called the ACID Foundation who provide counselling for children and days out. The Osborne Trust. There are loads of these little charities set up, and I think what would have been really important for me is to know about those. And I think I've probably only found out about those because of what we've been doing ourselves in terms of the Little Sea Club. Mm. So I think really just to have some kind of space where all of this is signposted, and maybe some support groups that are specifically for parents where they can talk about their worries about talking to their children and how they're getting on, and just knowing that other people are doing the same kind of things would be really important. There are people kind of doing this stuff, but it doesn't really get talked about at your appointments or anything like that. So maybe just have some more knowledge amongst sort of nursing staff that are dealing with adults that have got young children to say, this is where you can find some support would be really helpful too.
Mm, absolutely. A kind of more holistic understanding of patients' needs is absolutely something that,
yeah. I think there's just such a, there's so much to go through when you first get diagnosed. There's all the medical side of it. There's just so much that sometimes maybe the parenting side of things might get overlooked. And it's just about being aware of that, I suppose, and just making sure people know that there is support out there.
Mm, of course. And I mean, you've created your own amazing support resource for people as well. But if any other parents are listening and they're perhaps, you know, maybe this is quite new to them and they're still kind of navigating what I imagine is a really difficult time, and sort of just knowing where to start with having those conversations, is there any advice that maybe you wish you'd had at the start to say, you know, here's how to talk to children about this, or here's how to, if there's anything particular you should, shouldn't do or say?
I think I'd have loved for someone to give me a set of these flashcards when I was first diagnosed. That would have been a great starting point. Mm. I think just to know that, like, you're not on your own, and there's this big assumption that cancer happens to older people with older children, and actually there are so many younger women that I've met since I've been going through this, and I do feel like maybe we're forgotten about sometimes, that there are young families having to face this as well, and it's just about knowing that, I think, that there's other people there and there are people there to help. Even like places like Maggie's Centres, they offer lots of art therapies and counselling and things like that. But unless somebody tells you, you don't know about these things, and it can feel quite isolating.
Mm. It's definitely something that I think a lot of people do. I've personally had conversations with people who have said very similar things. You know, they felt very alone at the start, but you do find these things as you go on, and just knowing that they were there was so helpful. And just you having this conversation with us today will hopefully reach people and let them know that, you know, there's resources out there, there's other people that are in the same situation, and you can make connections with other people through things like Breast Cancer Now's events, through things like Little Sea Club. And actually those networks are so just vital for people who are experiencing the same thing, and just, yeah, really knowing that someone else has got their back and knows what they're going through. I wonder, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, so we are on Instagram and Facebook as the Little Sea Club, at the Little Sea Club, and we also have a website at www.littleseaclub.com.
yeah, that's really fantastic. And anyone listening, like, strongly encourage them to go.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe via your preferred podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you're able to, we'd love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend us to someone you think would find us helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them.